Hi. Welcome back to Rainbow Philosophy. I don't know. I wanted to do an episode this week because I haven't done one in a while. And I don't know. It's mostly because I've been feeling stressed out. Because I just started, for a little bit of background, I just started my junior year of high school, which is well known to be the most stressful one. And I'm saying that with air quotes because that's like totally subjective. You can't say that because some people may have really, it all depends on the like on who your teachers are and what classes you're taking and stuff like that. But I happen to be taking 4 APs this year, which may not sound like that many if you're one of those crazy smart people, but I'm just a regular smart person. And I don't even know if I'm smart sometimes. So, in a very appropriate fashion, we're going to be talking about Stoicism. And I don't know about you, but the first thing I think of when I think of Stoicism is like the strong, silent type. What's his name? Brock from, Brock from Pokemon. The guy who was, he was like super calm all the time and had neutral expression, pretty calm under pressure, and just in general. But then, he happened to get excited over hot girls, but that was like the only thing about him. But that was just a joke, that's like not like what Stoicism is. But, think of the strong, silent type. Like, if you know somebody who stays calm under pressure, really well, and doesn't tend to get that anxious because they can control their emotions really well and control that part of it. That's what I think of when I think of Stoicism. But actually, Stoicism is a philosophy that's been around since, the 80s. It was very popular in ancient Greece and Rome. I don't know the exact years because I really don't think that's as important as just learning about the different like values and how to be stoic, which is not something I can teach you because I don't know how to be stoic. But it's definitely about control and self-control, and they encouraged that. And actually, a funny story. I don't know. I think I learned this from like a TED Talk a long time ago, but. The founder of Stoicism, I forget his name, but I'll look it up. I know it's not Seneca. He's just the guy who followed it. Let me find his name. Zeno. Okay, yeah, I forgot. Okay, so Zeno was this very successful merchant, and but unfortunately, one day his ship crashed on Athens, and he lost like everything. And he just wandered. This is like all speculation, by the way. We have no idea. Like, this is a story, but it's a nice story. He wandered into this bookshop, and he picked up a book by Socrates, or not really by Socrates, because Socrates didn't really write anything down, but probably written by one of his students, like Plato, or Aristophanes, maybe, except Aristophanes made fun of Socrates a lot, so it was probably Plato, but yeah, he didn't really write down anything about him, but we can talk about that another week. Today I want to talk about Stoicism. So he walked into that bookstore and he picked up that book about Socrates and his philosophy, and he decided he wanted to follow that, so he went. And Athens is a great place to follow philosophy back in ancient Greece, surprisingly, because that's where a lot of ancient Greek philosophy was born. So he went and he followed all of the greatest philosophers at the time. I don't know who, because if he's reading a book on Socrates, it's probably when Plato was around or when Aristotle was around or when Epictetus was around or Titus. I don't know how his name is pronounced. I think I like Epictetus better because Titus sounds like teat. And that sounds old, and it reminds me of The Witch, which is a very good movie, but it's very scary. It's not scary. It's kind of creepy. But it is still a modern practice. If you're thinking, I know I already said this, but if you're thinking about it, like what it is now, you may think of like meditation and yoga, stuff like that, where it's all about like relaxing yourself and like reaching a higher state of being, sort of like, I think there's actually a word for like the Buddhist idea of like reaching nirvana. I think there's actually a Stoic version of that. I think it starts with an A. I don't know. I think it's like ataraxia. I think it's ataraxia or something like that. But it's very my phone just randomly turned on. Bye-bye. Okay. I think it's called like ataraxia or something like that. But Stoicism is all about that sort of like mindfulness and I don't know, just like keeping with the flow. But okay, yeah. Zeno was from Citium, which is currently called Cyprus. And he taught in Athens his idea of Stoicism in, he started in about 300 BCE, and he based his moral ideas on the Cynics, off of the Cynics, and his idea of Stoicism laid great emphasis on goodness and peace of mind gained from living a life of virtue in accordance with nature. And it was very popular, and it was like basically the dominant philosophy from the Hellenistic period through the Roman era. Next, I'm just going to go over like the biggest figures in like the three guys that you need to know, or four, I guess four. Next guy is Lucius Annaeus Seneca, but he's usually just called Seneca. He famously was a tutor and later advisor to the Emperor Nero, who was, he had sex with his mother. He was a very bad guy. a very classic ancient Greek bad guy, or just silly guy. They called, like, bad guys and silly guys are basically the same in, like, ancient Greek stories. I don't know. But he famously told Seneca to commit suicide in front of his whole family. For like no reason. But Seneca was like one of the, he was forced to commit suicide for like, because he was told that he was like involved in a Pisonian conspiracy to assassinate him, but he was probably innocent. I don't think Seneca would have done that. But, yeah, he was very famous. And he was one of the greater minds of that. And he was he lived from 4 BCE to CE 65. So that's much later than Zeno. Next, we can talk about Epictetus, who I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he was alive from CE circa 55 to 135. And he was Greek, and he was a Stoic philosopher. He was born a slave at Hierapolis, Phrygia, which is now present-day Turkey. And he lived in Rome until his banishment when he went to Nicopolis in northwestern Greece for the rest of his life. His teachings were written down and published by one of his pupils in his discourses, and he taught that philosophy is a way of life and not just a theoretical discipline, which is a bit odd because that's not really something that we normally get out of philosophy. Philosophy is known to be something that is not really applied to our lives, really, because it's like everything is like philosophical thought experiments. Who's going to use those in your real life? When are you actually going to have a real trolley problem? And I know that may sound a bit stupid because that has actually happened before, like all of the scenarios of the trolley problem, but that's just because there's like 7.8 billion people on the earth, and something like that is bound to happen, and not because it's a common occurrence of five people on one train track and one on the other, and you have to choose. You know, it just happens once in a And the idea of philosophy is that there's never really an answer. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. There's never really an answer. There's like a billion answers, and everybody thinks that they're right, or they think that they're probably right. But they're not right. Nobody is right. That's the whole idea of philosophy. But Epictetus was like, oh, you can actually use it, you know, which is really odd. You never hear about that. It's usually like, well, theoretically, here's how you should live your life. But it's not really, you don't really have to. It's not really possible. And I, the person who came up with it, don't even live my life that way, you know? But Epictetus was that kind of guy. And he decided, I think he had a famous quote. I don't know if it was him or another guy, or another one of these famous guys. It might have been Marcus Aurelius, who I'll talk about after this. But there's a famous quote saying, I think it was by Epictetus. Yeah. He said, I don't have the exact quote. I could find it, or you could find it. But Epictetus basically said that the bad effects of different events are not caused by the events, but actually by your judgment of them. So imagine like you got into imagine you were fired from your job, and you would immediately think, this is so horrible, how could this happen to me? But really, all that bad, like, all those bad things that are coming from that and that are taking over your life are coming from you because you're the one who's choosing to let it affect you in that way. And it's okay to let things affect you because that's human. But the way that Stoics saw life is that it's more of like this interconnected web of cause and effect. And everything is already like, and they call this logos, which you know logos if you've been through any like any high school class at any time. You know logos, you know pathos, you know logos, you know ethos. But logos is more based on reasoning, and this is basically saying that this web of cause and effect strings is logos, because it's reasoning for how the universe works and how everything comes together. So it's saying that like things are going to happen no matter what, but it's your choice if they are bad things or good things, or if they're just things, because things are just things, and they only become good or bad or anything else like with an emotional connotation once you apply it to that, because that is how humans work. But you can control that part of yourself with Stoicism. Like a more modern example would be meditation, which is something I tend to turn to when I feel as if my life is out of control, which is saying a lot because I don't seem like the kind of person who would meditate. I just think it's very peaceful. I think it's very calming, and it makes me feel good about myself even if it's not doing anything. It's still like that placebo effect of it. And I don't think that's true. I think it is doing something. I'm not sure what it's doing, but it feels nice. And I just get to have like a moment or two when I'm like completely silent, everything is silent, and I'm not doing anything and not thinking about anything, because sometimes it hurts to think about things for too much, you know? Even though it is very nice sometimes to think about things, and that's why we're doing this podcast. But yeah, Epictetus said that, basically said that your judgment is what causes all these emotional connotations to different events, but you don't have to let it become that way if you follow Stoicism. And that's what we're going to learn how to do today. I don't know how to follow Stoicism. Of course I don't. I'm a 16-year-old girl who is in her room and who decided she wanted to record an episode of her podcast today without any notes, which is going pretty well so far because I feel like I have more of a connection to it this week, because normally when I do it one of these podcasts, I have to write notes because it's not something – because usually what I record a podcast on, like the issue, the topic I'll come up with weeks in advance and it'll be just something I'm interested in. This is something that can directly apply to my life and something that I find interesting in different way, as in like, oh, this could help me, you know? And a lot of people follow it. But like Stoicism isn't just like, a lot of people call Stoicism like the art of not caring, but that's not really what it is. For example, Marcus Aurelius was this Roman emperor from 161 to 180, but he was born in April of 121 and died in 180. So that's when he was clearly a very good emperor. And he ruled with Lucius Verus as co-emperor from 161 until Verus's death in 169. By the way, I'm getting a lot of this information from this howtobeastoic.wordpress blog, but I also got a lot of this information from like a couple TED Talk videos, a couple just like YouTube videos from School of Life, a lot of just stuff I've learned from other podcasts. Just like a lot of this is common knowledge that I just gained from other stuff. But a lot of this I am reading directly off of it just because I want the exact dates and I want to make sure I'm being accurate, because if I'm going to give out like this kind of historical information, I might as well be accurate with it, you know, because I'm not just going to guess on what year that they were born or that they were ruling as emperor. But he was the last of the five good emperors and is also considered one of the most important Stoic philosophers. And he contributed with his work Meditations, which was written in Greek while on a campaign between 170 and 180, and is like still to this day revered as a literary monument to a philosophy of service and duty, describing how to find and preserve equanimity in the midst of conflict by following nature as a source of guidance and inspiration. And that's a big part of Stoicism, like following nature, like nature, like letting nature rule your life, because that's, you shouldn't let these emotions that aren't going to do you any good. It's not about being emotionless. It's about being productive with your emotions and controlling them, but not like to a point that it's hurting you, like suppressing them. You're not suppressing your emotions. You're understanding what they are, and then you're understanding that they're not going to do you any good. Like, it's not going to do any, like, Marcus Aurelius fought the Germans in this big war. I don't remember what year, but it was while he was emperor. And he fought this huge German army, and he won while he was coping with the death of, like, a couple of his children. I think all of them. I'm not sure, though. So don't quote me on that. I remember hearing that from, like, a video or reading that somewhere. But I know that part is true. I just don't know how many of his children died. But it's all about redirecting your energy, I would guess. And that when I say energy, I don't mean that in a sort of, I mean that in like as in your emotions, not as in like this weird, like I'm like realigning my chakras, like I'm manifesting my destiny, like sort of like teenage girl way, which I don't really follow that sort of stuff. I just don't, maybe I will get into Eastern philosophy, even though manifest destiny is definitely a Western philosophy, as it's like the basis of American philosophy from the 1800s, early 1800s, and late 1700s. But anyways, I hate manifest destiny, by the way. I think it's a stupid philosophy, and I think it's just lazy and not thinking about anything. But that's just my opinion. You can come up with your own opinion, and I respect that. yeah, okay. But let's talk about the four major disciplines of Stoicism. I have to find it. But one of them is, oh God, I have to find it. Stoicism is also like very much used in like modern day psychology, because it is about controlling emotions, and that is a part of the brain. But it's not really about like getting rid of emotions, as I've said a billion times already, but it's more about like transforming them in order to achieve an inner calm. Like, they didn't like fear, anger, anxiety, like all of those really extreme emotions. They were saying that they basically said if you're angry, it wasn't because of a natural like part of your blood or anything that a lot of people believed, because there were a lot of angry Romans. But they were saying that if you're angry all the time, you're basically stupid. Which is okay. That's fine. But yeah, I think I might do another episode on Stoicism. It's very interesting. I don't know, I might write notes for the next episode just because this week I was so tired, as you can tell by my voice. But yeah, see you guys next week, maybe. or you'll hear me next week. I won't see you. I have no idea who is listening to this podcast. I would really appreciate if you could write a review on my Apple podcasts. I actually haven't checked that. So somebody might have written a review. Let me check. But I want to start, just depending on if I get reviews, I want to start reading them at the end of each episode, depending on if I ever get any. I have to re-download the Apple Podcast apps because I don't use that one. I use Stitcher Premium. Because if I'm going to pay for a podcast app, you bet your ass I'm not keeping the original one. Here we go. Okay, well, I re-download Apple Podcasts. I think the thing was, it kept on randomly playing the Adam Carolla show whenever I plugged my phone into my car. And I don't know. I've never listened to the Adam Carolla show. I think he's like, I don't even know who he is. I think he's like a right-wing guy who I've never heard of, but it kept on playing that. And I guess maybe it's because his name starts with an A. I don't know, but yeah, it's very odd, and I didn't like it, so I deleted the app because I wasn't using it anyways. But I don't know. Let's see what I've got going on here. Yeah, it still shows the Adam Carolla show. I'm not subscribed to that show. I don't know what's going on. Okay, let's find it. Ramble Philosophy. Let's see if I have any. But 4.5 stars. It's because somebody left a rude rating. I don't know. It was literally a person from my school. They just said that, oh no, that was one of my friends who left a 4-star rating, which literally bumped down my rating. But whatever, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. That was one of my friends who was messing with me and left a 4-star rating. Now I have a 4.5 out of 5, which is like really bad in terms of Apple Podcasts. There's also a 1-star rating. Who gave me a 1-star rating? They didn't leave a review with it. Well, I don't know. Fuck them. But yeah, if you want to leave a rating on there, it's just Ramble Philosophy on Apple Podcasts. It would really help me. And also, because it would mean that more people could listen to it, and then we would have more things to talk about, and more people could give me suggestions. Either way, if you want to give me a suggestion, you can email me, or I guess you could leave it in a review. That would be good. Leave it in a review, and I'll check before a couple days before I record the next one, which will be in a week. And I will also read your reviews at the end of the podcast. I want to start doing that. And I also want to do this thing where I give a random review that does not a review, a recommendation has nothing to do with philosophy at the end of each episode. Because one of my favorite podcasts, CarsCast MovieCast, by the way, shout out to them, does this every week. And I think that would be a good way to just end the episode on nice light that will give everybody a cool and fun recommendation. And this week I want to recommend the artist Sasami. Her name is spelled Sasami. She's on Spotify. She's on everything. But she's great. I love her. She has one album. It came out last year. It's really good. Sort of sad girl stuff, but it's also really good. Like, it's really, like, there's a lot of noise band stuff in it, too. It's really cool. So, that's my recommendation for this week. I'll see you guys next week, or you'll hear me next week, whatever. Same thing. And, yeah, give me your reviews. Give me your recommendations for stuff to talk about next week, because I'd love to. I'd love to hear that stuff. And tell me how I'm doing, you know? But, you know, give me a 5-star rating, because I want it to boost me, not just, like, you can criticize me in the review, but give me a 5-star rating. Okay, bye.